Hi, everybody. It's Eileen again from Artists with Anxiety, and I'm here with Melanie Dancy, the lovely. So this is actually our second time trying to get this recorded because my stuff kind of messed up, and then both of us ended up getting like sick at the exact same time, so it's great. So this is the second time trying to record this, so wish us luck. All right, so let's just dive right in then. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Melanie? What kind of a creative are you? And how long have you been doing it?
Well, again, I'm Melanie Dancy, and I am a singer, and I do a bit of acting. I love musical theater, and that's been my love since I was a kid. I wanted to be Annie. When the first one came out, I just was like, what do I want to do? So, yes, I'm a creative, just a singer and a bit of actress.
All right.
I can't talk today. I apologize.
That's okay. I did all my braining earlier today, so I'm kind of, I feel it. So, what kind of mental struggles do you deal with on like a daily basis when you find that either you're on stage, you're performing, or even thinking about performing?
Well, I've been diagnosed with depression, and I have anxiety as well as ADD. So I have a trifecta of things going on. So, but it does help with ADD, helps with the creativity and thinking outside the box. But when talking about performing, it's the anxiety of it all. Worrying if you're good enough. It goes beyond our normal fear of, do I have what it takes? About the worry about, okay, can I really do this? It is a perpetual thing. Along that worry continuum, which just happens to be a topic at church this week. So anyway, dealing with that becomes overwhelming at times because your brain cannot function and you cannot function in that space and give as much as you would like. So that's what bothers me in terms of the anxiety and dealing with that.
I definitely can relate. I mean, you do think I have a wicked performance anxiety and social anxiety. So like you do things that I couldn't even imagine doing. So I am quite impressed by all the stuff that you've been able to do. And I've seen your voice. I've seen your the videos of you performing, and they're just absolutely wonderful. And I will post links below. So just keep an eye out for those. I don't think you have anything to worry about, but I totally get that. Like even when you know you're good enough, like you know you're good enough, but there's still that little voice that's kind of louder than everything else. And I totally get that.
Yeah, when you have anxiety, and I do have social anxiety as well, even though I was teaching, I'm used to being in front of kids that love you regardless. Mm-hmm. Since the performing and being in front of other adults, and I have so much anxiety around that. And there is a little voice that says, you know what, you do have a pretty good personality, but there's a bigger voice that's like, you skate, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, as an artist, you compare yourself with other people and look at their talent, and so that doesn't help, but I'm working my way through it.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm really glad to hear that, for sure. So I guess we can just jump right into that then. Actually, no, I'll trace that back. So I know that you've sang in a bunch, like you mentioned, you sang in a bunch of musicals and community choirs and choruses. Do you mind real quick talking about some of those things? And then when was like a moment that you had a serious moment of doubt?
Okay, when I was in Columbus, I sang with the Columbus Symphony Orchestra Chorus, which I had an opportunity to perform at Carnegie Hall, which was, of course, Mecca for musicians.
Oh, yeah.
So amazing. I sang with a group called Snap, which would perform original works around just music. Was part of that creative experience. I was with Vaudevillities, which is the longest running show in America. It's been around for 75 plus years. I'm like, I forget now. Just again, variety of chorus. But Love United was my home, because it was my friends and we were out to show diversity in the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. and just in Columbus in general. And so it was great to work with my friends and just perform. Now, serious doubts, any time I auditioned for a musical.
Oh yeah.
I was in Dreamgirls, was my last show, and of course it was amazing, but my friend who was the director, he was like, and on my audition, he's like, what was that? Because he knows me and knows my ability. Mm-hmm. But when I get into an audition, everything leaves my body.
Oh, yeah.
And it just becomes overwhelming, and so much doubt just drips out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's anytime I audition for a show, it's such a big, I don't want to cuss. So I'll say it's not so pretty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand. So how do you kind of work through that fear when you finally do manage to get on stage?
Once I get on stage, especially if it's something we've rehearsed for, the memory of rehearsing really does kick in. It's just those few initial moments when the panic sets in. Ooh. And you're like, your whole body is trying to leave all your organs, all that, just want to leave your body. Mm-hmm. But once I get in there and I'm, especially when it's community, as far as singing with other people or acting with other people, your working memory just kicks in and you just do and you become. Mm-hmm. My friend James Blackman, who's a gorgeous, talented, divine individual, musician there in Columbus, he says, it's not about you, it's about what you're giving to the audience. So you need to, I try to remember that now going forward, is trying to give your audience an escape and entertainment. And so I wanted to become about service and not about me.
Okay. That I mean, that's a fantastic way to look at it too. I mean, because people are there to see you. Like, that's the fact of the matter. Like, they want to see what you have to offer. So that's always kind of enlightening to like focus on that. So I love that perspective.
And I just want to say, they're here to see you too in this show. And I just want to congratulate you for getting past your anxiety and doing this series, because it's really inspired me when I first heard about it. So just thank you. All right.
Well, thank you. You're so sweet. Aw. Oh my goodness.
Okay. I'm not going to cry. Okay.
I know. Like, you got me all giggly now. Dang it.
We're giggly 14-year-old girls. That's okay.
I know, right? Oh my gosh. So are there other aspects of being a singer or an actress that you struggle with?
Again, it's comparison with other people, other performers. And just for me, I've always felt like a kind of an outsider. Just my personality is very different in terms of just things that I like, me being an introvert, and just having the anxiety, not knowing what that was until I was in my 40s. Mm-hmm. 40s, okay, let's be honest. It was 6 months ago, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. that it caused me to draw back. And so I have a small group of really great friends that, you know, support me and all that other stuff. But yeah.
That's fantastic for that. I rely heavily on my support system for sure. I'm either texting or, and I live with my mom and she's right downstairs. So like, if I'm freaking out, I'm like, I need a minute. I need to talk it out. I need a minute. But I love that support system. It's gotten me through some seriously wicked times.
Yes.
So I greatly appreciate that. So I'm sorry I'm looking down all the time, but my notes are on my phone and they're down here.
No worries.
We talked about the struggles and everything. So then what kind of coping mechanisms do you use? Like, I know in our initial talk, you mentioned, and I can't remember what it's called, You mentioned like cognitive therapy and ETF. So like what kind, like, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Okay, so I've been in therapy for most of my life. When I go to cognitive-based therapy, it again is just being able to talk through what you're dealing with and reframe what that looks like for you. And another, within therapy, I've done EMDR, which is eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. And it's just about moving, they start with moving your eyes back and forth, which crosses the midbrain. So your analytical side and your creative side kind of join together, and you're just dealing with a tragic, traumatic issue, and you're learning to reframe what that looks like and reprocess it so it doesn't come up as an emotion field, an event for you. It just comes up and you learn how to deal with it and going back and reprocessing what that is. It's an event. These are the things that happen. Let's take the emotion out of it and learn how to go forward with that traumatic event. And with the ETF, which is emotional freedom technique, it's basically you doing acupuncture on yourself. You use the meridian points in your body to shift that energy. And all of us love to be touched.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think most of us love to be touched.
Yes.
And you have energy points that cause you, sometimes they get stuck because of our beliefs and they get stuck in our body. So it's having you recite, first you acknowledge the emotion that's coming up for you, and then you're reframing that emotion as you're tapping the different points within your body. So if you look that up, actually the one of the big coaches around that is Nick Ortner, and he actually worked with some of the Sandy Hook parents and some of the children on reframing that. And then I also did some research around that in college when they were using it on vets, because it's going to be no side effects. So just try it and see if that's something that may work for you.
That's awesome. I mean, one of my last guests, the Kieve was the last episode, they talked about kind of the same thing, especially the cognitive portion of it, of walking yourself through and like putting your thoughts into like a little box. So you're not ignoring it, but you're putting it aside so you can address it later. So having that, and cognitive therapy worked wonders for me, because there was, with the anxiety, I would just spiral and like, well, if this happened, then this will happen, and this is the worst thing that could possibly happen. And then my therapist is like, whoa, hold, slow your roll. What is the actually worst thing that could happen?
Exactly.
And like, well, what if I lost my job? Like, okay, so you lost your job. What are you going to do about it? I'm like, I get another one? I'm like, yeah. Like, you have to physically, you have to walk through it and reframe instead of just like immediately thinking of the terrible things. You kind of have to like, well, if it does happen, what would I do? And I really appreciate, and I like the physical thing, because I'm a very physical, touchy-feely person, so that I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah, I mean, now when you're out of your spiraling down, you need to go back and look at what are those triggers for yourself, what works best for you, and come up with a plan for setback. And something may be just as simple as walking, doing the ETF. It may be doggy butts, rubbing doggy butts. Is it scientific proven that your oxytocin levels, whatever, rise when you're rubbing doggy butts? Love those doggy butts.
I heard like cats purring does that for me. So I'm sitting there petting like my sister's cat and just like, this is fine. I'm better now.
Just coming in with a setback plan, maybe a playlist. Playlist. Like, you know, whatever that is for you, your support system, talking it out, just figure out what works best for you. And planning for those setbacks is the best. My life has changed so dramatically in the last 6 months that most of May, I was completely out of body. It was emotionally devastated. and exhausted, physically exhausted, mentally exhausted. And it took about another month for me just to recover. Mm-hmm. But once you start talking and being transparent with people, transparency, vulnerability is not a weakness. And that's what I had to learn through it all. Mm-hmm. Vulnerability is not a weakness. And talking about this is big for me, because as an introvert, I process all this by myself and alone. So I can keep talking. Sorry.
No, I want to listen to what you have to say. That's why I invited you. So I appreciate it. And I love what you said about vulnerability is not a weakness. And it's definitely not fun, but it's necessary and it's part of the healing process. So I love that point of view.
And just one more thing, and we're all on social media. Most of us are on social media. Mm-hmm. My pastor said, if you scroll through and somebody's timeline makes you feel bad, stop following them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of stuff that I intake as far as social media is more positive, more about spirituality, funny things, doggy butts. I literally sat today and watched cat and dog videos for like a half an hour. But just finding those things, even just reading a positive message every day, just mm-hmm. me excited. And you can't be excited and have anxiety at the same time. So find those things that build your anxiety. That means decrease your anxiety. And build your happiness and joy and peace.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's fantastic advice. And I need to be more conscious of that too, for sure. I'm a social media manager for some of my freelance work and at work. It's my job to be on social media, but I have to make sure that my own feed is curated, so I'm not seeing any negativity, because I've already got enough in my head that I don't need it. I don't need it externally.
Exactly.
So then what other things besides art do you use as a way to relax?
You know, they say meditation is proven. The only thing that's proven that shows you to calm your brain. Mm-hmm. And meditation does not have to be you sitting on a mat for 35 minutes with your brain quiet. Try to do that as someone with ADD. No. So meditation for me is being in water, whether that's being in the shower, taking a bath, when I have access to my cousin's pool, being in the pool, and maybe taking a walk in nature and just walking with your shoes off in the grass. But it's about breathing, and just getting in your body and just being aware and just trying to black out all the stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes for people, it may be playing solitaire. I just have a pair right here.
Nice.
I think we last time talked about Two Dots.
Yes. Oh my God.
Two Dots, the app. I'm completely addicted. It's ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
But sometimes let's not go overboard.
Yes.
But yeah, just finding meditation and way to get focused on other things besides your anxiety and being a service. Being a service doesn't require money. Mm-hmm. You can go to the pet shelter, walk the dogs for them. You can make one blessing bag for a homeless person, give it out. Even going to the dollar store, getting maybe five crossword puzzles, Sudoku books, mm-hmm. and putting pens in there for them and just give it out to them. You'd be surprised how much they crave that. I work with an organization that we serve, the homeless here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. So, meditation, being a service, and finding something that just makes you happy, whether it be music, tinkering with things. I'm damaged around tools, so not for me. But if that's your thing and you get in there and gardening, yeah, I don't do outside. I heard it's a thing.
Yeah.
My mom is a gardener. That's her meditation. That's her happy place. So
oh, wow.
I'm a happy place for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then what kind of advice or tips do you have for the local creatives that are struggling to find their voice and face their fears?
get with some like-minded people, get your support team. Your support team doesn't have to be 10, 15 people. It can be two people. Take one small step outside of your comfort zone. I did that recently with just reaching out to a lady that we exchanged numbers at a comedy show. She said, we can go to a comedy show. That would be cool. And I really did. And I had a fantastic time. I was anxiety ridden for like 3 days before. I don't know.
Yep.
It was really nice. And they were just so cool and down to earth. So get outside your comfort zone. Just reach out and write down what it is that is wonderful and divine about you, because sometimes you just need to see it on paper, and it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. But
get in there online and just try to process and unpack all those things. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can do this, but bleep it out if you need to. I am on this social media site that's called Life Management Tribe.
Huh.
It's run by this actor, Romney Malco, and it is about unpacking all our stuff, making daily goals. What are you grateful for this morning? What act of kindness did you do today? How do you think today went? What did you learn? So how are you going to be smarter tomorrow?
Oh, and that's cool.
And you're posting different groups. So if you want to talk about depression, let's talk about it. Love and relationships, let's talk about it. Business, trying to start a film career. So it's been very enlightening in that I can talk to people that are dealing with anxiety, working through their issues, childhood traumas, physical trauma, chronic pain. So it's been very helpful for me finding that community. And it doesn't have to be in your area.
Yeah.
So Lifestyle Management Tribe has been, I mean, literally a saving grace. And just my friends are fantastic. I love them to death. If I could just all have us all live in the same space, it'd be wonderful, but it is what it is. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. So where else can people find you if they want to maybe see you perform or at least hear what you've done in the past?
Well, I am Melanie Dancy. Dancy rhymes with fancy. on Facebook, and my Instagram is, I don't remember, Scene Filler. This is ridiculous. I am working on, like I said, it's been a tough 6 months, year
yeah,
and a half.
Absolutely.
I'm getting back into performing, so the things that I have out are just half out right now, but I will have more stuff coming soon.
Yay, glad to hear it. And I'll post, for everybody out there, I'll post links and stuff in the description so you guys will get a chance to see more of what she's doing. So we're very excited. And again, my obligatory, I need to put like a little like thing at the bottom of the screen or something. Like my disclaimer that we're by no means like, so blah, blah, blah. I can't word today either. We're by no means mental health professionals. Like please, please, please seek the help that you need, whether it's medication, meditation, seeing an actual licensed therapist or a psychiatrist, your a group therapy. Kieve talked about it in the last episode. So talking to your tribe, whatever it is that will get you through the day that's healthy and safe for you, please, please, please take that opportunity. We want to see what you have to offer for this world. We want you to live another day here. So please take care of your guys. I can't word. Take care of yourselves. That's So I just want to say thank you so much again for joining me. I know it's been so hard for us to just sit down for an hour and find the time. So I greatly appreciate taking the time out of your day. And it was wonderful to see you again.
Thank you so much. Everybody, y'all, she says, please take care of yourself. There is something about you that the world needs. So find the strength to encourage to get out there and show it.
Absolutely. I'm all like motivated and encouraged now. I'm like, I'm ready to go. You make me so happy.
Oh, thank you. I'm not going to say I just roll out of bed. Okay.
I woke up like this. Well, thank you again so much. Hopefully you guys will join me again for another episode. Again, I've got some awesome guests coming up in the next few episodes, so please stick around and I hope to hear from you guys soon. Bye.